a public service message from Call to Recycle.
Hi, this is Richard Karn. Recycling your old cell phone is a great thing to do for the environment. Visit calltorecycle.com or call toll-free 877-2-RECYCLE.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel. Well, radar speckled with thunderstorms. 50% chance will continue through tonight with lightning, thunder, and rain. 52 by morning, climbs only to 67 tomorrow with more of the risk of thunderstorms. It'll be up a bit to about 80%, so more wide coverage. That'll continue through tomorrow night, and by Saturday, scattered showers linger with 54 and perhaps 39 only on Sunday with a couple of snowflakes behind the system.
WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR. WWNR Beckley.
Tonight's Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. This is the Thursday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. I don't know if I can do this. I've never done Head On with a necktie on. Had some meetings today and didn't get a chance to, you know, put human being clothes back on. I feel entirely too stuffy and conservative. The necktie may have to go at some point in the program. I'm not entirely sure. I read a dozen stories that I thought were equally suitable for opening the show tonight. And I frankly couldn't decide on one. There's a jillion of them. But let's start with a win. A little something for the W column. No, not that W. The win column. You remember we had Brad Friedman on a couple of nights ago, and he talked at some length about this creepy little commission that cranked up a few days back. The Baker-Carter Commission, you remember, as chaired by James Baker III, the lawyer who defends the Saudi royal family against the victims of 9/11. Yeah, that James Baker. James Baker, the guy who did everything in his power to make sure votes wouldn't be counted in Florida in 2000. Yeah, that James Baker. And he's co-chairing this commission with Jimmy Carter. And as Brad noted on the show, there was a campaign underway via velvetrevolution.us to inform Robert A. Pastor, who is executive director of that commission, that we don't take kindly to that commission being turned into a whitewash job for right-wing Republican ideology. Guess what? We got a little win today. Got an email from Brad. And he shared with us the fact that he had just gotten a phone call from personal, not from some staffer or something, but from Congressman John Conyers, thanking him for the work that he had done and that we had done, because you went to your computers and you emailed these people and you let them know how you felt about wanting to know exactly why it was we seemed the greatest nation on earth unable to count votes. Yeah, complicated. Because Congressman Conyers had just finished a meeting with Dr. Pastor, and he has been promised, Congressman Conyers has, that the commission and its members will continue to work and meet with him about his concerns, our concerns, over the commission, its makeup, and its current direction over the coming weeks and months. And Congressman Conyers will also be meeting personally with President Carter to discuss some of the serious concerns as well. that's a win. That happened because we stood up and acted like human beings. We stood up and demanded that we be treated like the sovereign citizens we are. And they were flooded with emails at the commission. And they knuckled under. They knew they were being watched. And in essence, exactly what Congressman Conyers said was, today I had a lengthy, substantive, and frank meeting with Dr. Robert Pastor, executive director of the Carter Baker Election Commission. I shared my concerns about the commission with him. Among other things, I remain concerned about the involvement of Mr. James Baker III in this commission and the emphasis of some of the commission's work thus far. You know, bringing a woman beater like John Fund forward to say, well, there wasn't any election fraud. It's the black people's fault. That's what he did. And he says, in this meeting, Dr. Pastor displayed great familiarity with my report of the 2004 Ohio presidential election and expressed his strong commitment to election reform. Dr. Pastor has established an open channel with me to continue discussing these concerns, and I intend to continue this dialogue. I also intend to attend future meetings of the commission and personally meet with President Carter and other commission members. In sum, I want to assure you that I will be monitoring this commission and its work very closely. In other words, I am on the case. He says, I appreciate the energy and activism that has led so many of you to communicate with commission staff and members at the request of Dr. Pastor. Here's where they knuckle under. And in the interests of demonstrating our good faith efforts to work with the commission, I would ask that you contact the commission only via the email box which they have established to receive your comments concerning the commission. And that email address is capital C, capital D, capital E, capital M, CDEM, at American.edu. I have spoken with the leadership of the election reform groups, which have been contacting the commission members to ask them if they would take this measure. And Brad Friedman has, of course, agreed, and as do we. We're into freedom. We're into representative democracy. We can work with, we can go forward in good faith. We know how to do that. So let's do that for the time being. Congressman Conyers finishes, it is clear to me that your voices have been heard. Dr. Pastor has assured me that many of the emails sent reflected the same concerns that have motivated President Carter, himself, and others to pursue election reform in the United States and throughout the world, and will guide the work of the commission. Now, we're taking a good faith step. We're gonna back down for a little bit. We're gonna give them a break. Now we have to see how much longer the architect of the 2000 fiasco remains on that commission. Now let's see. What did George the First say about Saddam invading Kuwait?
This shall not stand.
Well, James Baker, dirtbag, sitting on that commission,
shall not stand.
Well, of course not. He's sitting.
Well, this shall not sit.
Okay. So that's where we are on it. And for those of you who sent emails, congratulations. You have forced a concession. And that goes in the win column. So, you know, let's start out, as I said, on a positive note. Because beyond that, there's some really creepy stuff, too, which we will get to through the course of the night. For now, though, let's take a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Nearly 70 million Americans, men, women, the old, and the young, share a common enemy, arthritis. make a difference in the fight against arthritis. Team up with Colony Drug, the Arthritis Foundation, and Southern Communications for Beckley's second arthritis walk, Thursday, May 19th, on the McManus Rail Trail at New River Park. Have fun and help fight the nation's leading cause of disability, arthritis. Form a team with your friends and family. For details, call Colony Drug Enrollment Center at 252-5305 and join us May 19th for a walk in the park.
Paying too much at the pump? Is your monthly gas budget more expensive than your car payment?
Jeez!
If so, 40 miles per gallon on the highway must sound like a dream come true. Well, time to wake up and get to L&S Toyota. 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. We've got 35 Corollas available. And with 40 miles per the gallon on the highway, that makes Corolla one of the most fuel-efficient cars on the road.
Yes, 40 miles per the gallon.
All right! And Corollas aren't the only Toyotas that will give you more bang for your buck at the pump. Choose from 25 available Camrys with 33 miles to the gallon and 49 available Tacomas with 27 miles to the gallon. You won't just save money on your car. You'll save big on your gas bill with 35 Corollas, 25 Camrys, and 49 Tacomas available. What else can you ask for? L&S Toyota.
Visit www.toyota.com. Sale ends 4/31.
The defendant, having been found guilty, is sentenced to 10 years imprisonment. Defendant will be remanded to custody immediately.
On September 15th, my son was sentenced to 10 years in prison for a gun crime. That day, he sentenced me to 10 years of worrying every single night if my baby is okay.
When you commit a gun crime, your family pays the price. Gun crimes hit home. A public service announcement brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 17 minutes after 7 o'clock. I'm Bob. This is Head On. A reminder for you, of course, we stream live for you every night on the internet at WWNRNewsTalk620.com. And via that website, you can also go through the portal to my website, HeadOnRadio.com, wherein reside the fun and fabulous forums, all of which are free. Oh, boy, we're in alliterative mode tonight, aren't we? No, seriously, they are free, and you're welcome to sign on, join up, create a membership, and jump into the fray that is the Head-On forums. You can also send an email at that site, of course, to bob@headonradio.com. That seems to be the most reliable address around here these days. So feel free if the spirit moves you. Of course, the phone numbers are 252-6200 round hereabouts and outside Beckley 800-620-WWNR. That's 9967. Learn them, know them, use them. I got to tell you, I don't know about outlying areas, but here in beautiful uptown Beckley, we had a nice shower. And it was a real relief. There are places around here where where trees overhang roads, where the roads are literally green, turned green with pollen. So hopefully some of that will be driven to earth, because I know there are a lot of people who have been suffering of late, not the least of whom would be me. Never used to happen. I think it's something that happens to you as you grow older. I never used to suffer with them, but now about 2 weeks every spring is good for misery. And I don't like to take drugs. So I walk into the drugstore. I get sleepy walking down the Benadryl aisle. So it's not, and since I don't share the same broadcast philosophy with the likes of Flush Flimball, I generally try to do radio unimpaired by drugs. Yeah, it's just me. So I'm glad to see the pollen come down. Let's go straight to the phones. We haven't heard from Michelle in a while. How you doing? You're Head On.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
I'm hanging in there.
Good.
I was wanting to win $1,000 on another radio station today, but I was not the right caller.
Oh, darn. That would be our sister station, WTNJ.
Yes, and I was going to build a bigger dog pen for all my babies.
You know, I love hearing that someone has a sense of altruism. You know, you didn't just say you were going to run right out to Walmart and buy some more crap.
No, my dogs have gotten bigger. I didn't think they were going to get this big, and they've gotten bigger, so I'm gonna.
Are they of any particular variety, or they?
They are just mountain dogs.
Big mountain dogs.
Well, they're not. You know, the biggest are like 75, 80 pounds. You know, and that's what they run between 50 and 85 pounds.
Yeah, about Labrador Retriever, German Shepherd style.
Yeah, the Rottweiler, kind of. Anyway.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I'm
sorry you didn't win, but by all means, don't give up.
No. We're still working on the fence.
Okay, I understand.
I wanted to ask you about this, you know, my husband's a truck driver, and he comes home with these stories. And I just read a story in U.S. News and World Report about these pharmacists refusing to fill some prescriptions. And then my husband says that they won't give the prescription back.
Right.
And so they can't go to another pharmacist and get it filled.
That's correct.
Well,
he's not pulling your leg.
Well, enlighten me.
Well, first of all, it kind of makes you want to run around the room screaming a little bit, doesn't it?
Well, I did run around the room, well, the shack, screaming.
Hey, it's all home, isn't it? He's not kidding you. I've got the story. I've got a story right here. What you've got is with the advent, ever since the November elections, Michelle, of these people and the media who think that somehow or another Bush voters have a lock on morality, which I find laughable, you've got this burgeoning group of pharmacists who refuse to fill, and my God, I mean, there are horror stories. There's one story of a woman who was literally raped, and at the hospital she was given a prescription for the morning after pill. She went to fill it. The pharmacist said, Jesus tells me not to fill this, and I'm not giving you the script back because you'd be committing a silent abortion. You need to have that rape baby.
Okay, well, then why didn't the hospital give her a morning after pill?
Because she wasn't going to be there the next morning.
But she could have taken it with her.
That part of the story I'm not familiar with, but they wanted her to go and fill it the next day.
Okay.
And she went to her
pharmacist. The pharmacist had moral issues.
To say that, I think you're giving them more credit than they deserve, Michelle. I don't think that's a moral issue.
Well, it is for them, but they are imposing their morals on us.
Precisely. Exactly. And frankly, I think from my standpoint, I think the pharmaceutical license should be yanked from any pharmacist who does this. They don't deserve to be with it, because this is a position of public trust. If they were going to
in the pharmacist, right?
Right.
Right.
I mean, what happens when you get somebody who is some pharmacist, and this is not that.
Right. Well, if I've got a script for OxyContin, and I don't look in pain to you, you're not going to give me OxyContin.
Well,
because I don't look in pain.
Well, wait. What if you're part of a real back to the beginnings, let's say you're a real, live, honest-to-goodness fundamentalist and you don't believe in things like antibiotics, and a woman or a husband, father, man, brings a prescription to the pharmacist for his little boy's antibiotics to keep him from dying,
so if the pharmacist is a Christian Scientist, he can say, oh, no.
Arguably, yes.
No, I don't believe in that.
Well, I think, but right now we're busy kowtowing and bowing and scraping to the religion industry, right, Michelle? And that's the only logical progression of this issue.
Tell me, if you can, or give me your opinion on why we are kowtowing to the religious right.
It's multifaceted. There's a lot of psychology involved. But more than anything else, Michelle, there's a lot of money involved.
Well,
because the true God of these religion industry right-wingers has nothing to do with Jesus or God or the Virgin Mary or anything else. The true religion of these right-wing monsters is what resides in their wallet. And they've got pictures of people like Washington and Lincoln and Franklin and Grant on them. You see what I'm saying? They worship money. They've got tons of it, and they want to use it to ram their beliefs down our throats.
I do, and Dr. Bill, who I'm worried about...
Nothing to worry. He's been out on business.
Okay, all right. Well, I was worried about him. We discussed the article in the...
Rolling Stone.
Yes.
The Crusaders.
The Dominionists.
The Dominionists, yes. And the title of the article was The Crusaders.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Read it myself.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
I have nothing against God or Jesus or Buddha or
The
Grand Poopa, whoever.
The sacred smelly sock under the bed. It's
right.
All fine. You know?
Go for it.
Right, but don't compel me to, you know. And it's odd that you get so much out of these people calling themselves Christians who hate Muslims so much, and yet the single most important tenet of Islam, for instance, early in the Quran, if I recall correctly, a very important verse that says there is no compulsion in religion.
No, there is no compulsion.
Because if you've compelled it, it's not true.
It's not true. It's
precisely.
Not true.
Precisely.
It's not felt. It's not true.
No.
It's not.
And it becomes hypocrisy. It becomes an offense under the stench under the nostrils of God, if you will.
And there was a caller on the Steve O'Brien show who was questioning another caller's knowledge. Of all these religions, he was saying, well, yeah, he knows all about all these religions, yet he doesn't believe in any of them. But you can't tell what that man's spirituality is.
Well, of course you can't. And moreover, unless you go out and say, hey, everybody, look at me, I'm a fill-in-the-blank, how are any of us to know what anyone's faith is?
No, you know what, and it's just...
I mean, you can march in and out of a Roman Catholic church every day of your life, but if in your heart you're a Buddhist, in your heart you're a Buddhist, and that's what's going to count at the end.
Well, what do you think's going to happen with these pharmacist guys?
Well, there is. I was trying to weed through my stack of stories here because I'll tell you what is planned. And that is legislation has been introduced, Michelle, to stop this, among other things. And, of course, you know, as usual, when it comes to protecting...
So then we're going to regulate pharmacists.
Well, they're already regulated.
Well, they should be. I mean, I thought that they were already regulated. So what else do we have to do?
Well, see, there some of your larger pharmaceutical chains have procedures in place whereby they try to put up with these weirdos... bizarre beliefs by having more than one pharmacist on staff at all times. You know, if they've got enough business to support it, that makes perfectly good sense. And what the weirdo pharmacist is supposed to do is say, Jesus tells me not to fill this birth control prescription. You do it.
Or he must give it back.
Oh, absolutely. But the problem is, there are a lot of rural areas in America. There's only one pharmacist in my little hometown area, and only one pharmacy, and only one pharmacist on duty. What happens to a woman in that situation, Michelle?
When he takes it and doesn't give it back to her?
Right.
When she's young and she can't assert herself?
Or they're even doing it to married women, Michelle. 35-year-old women.
A 35-year-old married woman would assert herself and say, give me that prescription back.
And he's sitting there behind the counter and behind a wall, and he says, ain't going to do it. Jesus told me not to. Nah.
Well, then I guess you go back to your doctor.
Yeah, and your doctor's constantly under scrutiny by the DEA and writing you a duplicate prescription unless he can your doctor, he or she, can absolutely verify.
Oh, there's more paperwork.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the ultimate goal here is to reestablish control of a woman's reproductive organs, because that is the means by which, since time immemorial, or at least civilized, for as long as men have controlled the show, that's the way you control the women.
And that's why the Catholics do not want birth control.
This new pope is more than
population.
Willing. Yeah, well, yeah, and he's more than willing to let the entire continent of Africa burn up in AIDS, ostensibly sending perfectly good human beings straight to hell. You know, if you buy into that stuff.
Yep. I appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you, Michelle. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Take care. All right. More of your phone calls when we come back. 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A state report shows that about 50,000 West Virginians are expected to have Alzheimer's disease by the year 2025. That's up 25% from 4,000 people in 2000. According to the State Department of Health and Human Resources, dementia, the growing crisis in West Virginia, Alzheimer's accounts for 50-70% of all cases of dementia. Dementia occurs when certain parts of the brain are damaged through disease or trauma and interferes with a person's ability to perform daily activities. The financial burden for Medicare and Medicaid regarding the hospitalization of patients with dementia is expected to rise. Several maintenance workers have been treated for chemical exposure after a garbage bag containing suspected methamphetamine caught fire in Ravenswood this morning. The workers were picking up trash when one of the crew tossed a bag into the truck and it caught on fire. Police say the workers drove the truck while it was ablaze to a local fire station where the fire was extinguished. All seven were put through a decontamination shower as a precaution, then treated and released from a local hospital. Earl Avril Gerald was charged with attempting to operate a clandestine drug lab. Now the forecast for the rest of this evening, partly cloudy, with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Temperatures now near 60. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms are likely, with a low near 50. Then tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms again, mostly cloudy, with a high near 70. Friday night, showers and thunderstorms are likely late in the night. Some storms tomorrow night could produce gusty winds as a very strong cold front moves in. Tomorrow night's low near 47, then get ready for the weekend. It's a wipeout. Saturday, showers likely. Some of the storms could produce gusty winds. It turns much colder, high near 40. Saturday night, rain showers change to snow and rain showers, then snow showers after midnight. Low near 29 Saturday night. Then snow showers and rain showers on Sunday, with a high near 40. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. More than 2,000 UMass Amherst graduate student employees are walking out today to protest attempts by the university to wring wage, health care, and child care concessions from them. Jen Turner is president of the UMass Graduate Employees Organization.
So that's the reason why we're walking out. We feel that it's important for our members to show the university that our members are mobilized and our members are angry over these concessions that they're asking for in our contract.
Turner says this isn't just financial because the university can afford to pay decent wages and provide decent benefits.
We feel that it's an anti-union bias. We live in a state where Mitt Romney is the governor of Massachusetts, and we feel that some of the proposals that have been offered to us by the university is in direct correlation to his office, particularly the raise proposals, and they're also trying to end same-sex domestic partnership benefits for our members.
This UMass job walkout comes on the heels of a strike this week by Yale and Columbia Philadelphia graduate student employees and rallies by City University of New York graduate workers. Turner says she wants the public to understand that these issues affect more than just campus workers.
We just want to emphasize that UMass Amherst is the flagship campus for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and we really fear that the flagship is sinking. We think that these proposals, which hurt graduate student employees, they'll hurt student organizations, and they hurt the Commonwealth of Massachusetts because it erodes the quality and accessibility of education for all, and we're really trying to fight these proposals because of that.
Early childhood education should be seen as an important part of the economy. That's one of the findings of a report released this week by the MIT Workplace Center and the Family Initiative of Legal Momentum. Ann Bookman is executive director for the center.
We need one lens to help us see it as part of our educational system, and another lens to help us see it as a key part of developing and sustaining a vibrant economy.
Leslie Coleman, director of New York-based Legal Momentum, says the report finds children who enter quality early education are more likely to finish school and not need expensive special education programs.
They're more likely to graduate from high school, to hold good jobs, to pay taxes, to contribute to the economy.
Representative Rosa DeLauro of Connecticut says she plans to ask the Government Accountability Office to do a national report on the economic impact of early care and education. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Think your keyboard is germ-free? Think again. Statistics from a survey funded by the Clorox Company found that 47% of desktops, 46% of computer mice, 45% of telephones, 26% of doorknobs, and 19% of light switches tested positive for the virus responsible for everything from the common cold to bronchitis. One of the easiest way to cut back on germs, don't eat your lunch at your desk.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley. You can be right and be wrong, or be left and be right. Head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 23 and a half minutes before 8 o'clock. I'm Bob. This is Head On. Yeah, I can't find the story right because the stack is deep, believe me. I come in here with about an inch worth of stuff every night that I hope to get to. And nine times out of ten, I get to a tenth of it. But legislation has been introduced in the House of Representatives to remedy this problem of nosy, ne'er-do-well pharmacists trying to compel women to have babies. It has been introduced. Now, just in case you were, just in case you thought that, God knows why you would, that the Republicans might be calming down a little bit now that so many of their dirty ways are being shown, I'll tell you a little bit real quick about a new House resolution, H.R. 1528. Get in touch with your congressman over this one. It was introduced by the Clinton impeachment weirdo James Sensenbrenner. And yes, he's got another bullet in the gun, and he wants to point it at freedom's head. He's another one of these punishment fetishists, Sensenbrenner is. Congressman Sensenbrenner is apparently of the opinion that we don't have enough people in America's prisons. Never mind that we've got twice as many people in prison as any other civilized nation, and I don't mean per capita, I mean on a statistical basis. H.R. 1528. Now, of course, when you hear the title of this, you're going to know exactly what it's about because it has nothing to do with the title of the bill. You know, Clear Skies Initiative, it's about pumping garbage into the air, healthy forests, chop down the trees. H.R. 1528, Defending America's Most Vulnerable. Safe Access to Drug Treatment and Child Protection Act of 2005. Where do they get these? Do they come up with these names, these idiotic bill names, sober? I doubt it. So what is the, among other things, what does the Safe Access, Defending America's Most Vulnerable Safe Access to Drug Treatment and Child Protection Act of 2005 do? I'll tell you what it does. It says that if you pass a doobie to someone who's ever been in drug treatment and get caught doing it, you get a mandatory minimum federal 5 years in the penitentiary, no questions asked. You think I'm kidding, don't you? No joke. No joke at all. It was introduced on April 6th. It's already passed out of the House Judiciary Committee on Crime, Terrorism, and Homeland Security. For all I know, it's already been voted on. It may have already passed out of the House. Maybe too late to stop. But you see, that's what they do. They count on us to be ignorant? No, not ignorant. To be overwhelmed. They like to keep us overwhelmed. Too busy working, too busy looking after the kids to ever do anything so silly as catch them in the middle, catch a Republican Congress in the middle of its dirty business. Isn't that just hateful? Now, this is not an endorsement of marijuana. It's not a condemnation of marijuana. I don't care. I think marijuana prohibitions are pretty stupid when you get right down to it. But from a strictly procedural standpoint, this creates something where a person can commit a crime and not even know they're doing it. You know, they pass it over and the next guy takes it. And how are you supposed to know the guy was in drug rehab 10 years ago when maybe George Bush should have been there with him? You know, fearless leader. Fearless dope smoker. Does this mean you get 5 years in the pen if you pass a doobie to Fearless George? I don't know. It's not clear. This is a nasty, nasty little bill. More federal mandatory minimum sentences, more people to prison, more homes destroyed. And here's another beauty of the bill. It creates just, you know, you remember when Linda Sumner wanted to expand the... it's okay, Jesse. I talk with my hands. You remember when she wanted to expand the buffer zone between churches and bars because she was afraid that people would leave the church and go to the bar if they had to walk less than 300 feet? Well, this has the there's a rule that's within 999 feet of a school provision for, you know, selling any illegal substance. God knows I don't want any illegal substances sold to children. But scratch your heads for a minute and think what this does. If the meth dealer can't sell within 999 feet of a school, and he shouldn't, but if you consider most inner cities, everything's within 999 feet of a school or a church or a foster, an adoption agency or a daycare center, and these are all in the list. Everything's within 999 feet of it. Where does the meth dealer go? That's right, out in the country where we live. Thank you, James Sensenbrenner, for sending the meth dealers out of Washington, D.C. to West Virginia. What a great guy you are, and what a deep-thinking Republican. Oh, my God. I mean, what did this guy do? One day did he slip and fall, and his grandmother's knitting needle went up his nose and roto-rooted out his brain like some sort of pharaoh being prepared for mummification? Hey! It is. It's a head-scratcher. You don't know where they come up with this stuff. And it's all to fix a Supreme Court case where they got mad at Fat Tony Scalia and Slappy Thomas and Rehnquist, a case called Booker, that says you can't send a person up on evidence that was not found by a jury. Roughly. And the Republicans just hate that, because they are in love with the federal sentencing guidelines, and they think that a guy that, you know, gets caught with a joint in his pocket at a rock concert needs to go to prison and spend as much time there as Charlie Manson. This bill creates a situation where, for instance, some guy sells a bag of weed to a person he thinks is an adult. The kid turns out to be 17 years old in 364 days. Bang! Automatic. 10 years. Now, bear in mind, the average rapist in this country does 7. But a doobie will get you 10, a joint, a J. Or as the geeky talking heads like, a marijuana cigarette. Do you see what these... I wouldn't trust these people with a handful of poop at a pie-eating contest, let alone trust them to make laws. And yet there they sit. Let's go to the phones. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-WWNR. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hey, good evening.
How are you?
Well, I guess you just answered my question.
What would that be?
Should a gentleman offer a lady a joint? I mean, really?
Not if she's been in rehab, he shouldn't.
Oh, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of in my life.
It's not
God in heaven. They ought to normalize that stuff, decriminalize it, and go ahead and tax it and make some money off of it.
I'm right there with you, but it's got legs. It's already roared out of the subcommittee.
Oh, well, listen, that's just ridiculous. And these pharmacists, surely no pharmacist can withhold a prescription for birth control, can they?
They can, and they do, and they have been.
Where?
Well, the story I just related, Texas, of course.
Oh, of course, there. Well, anything.
But all over the country, there is a movement of these weirdo pharmacists who think that they know better than a doctor and know better than a woman what should happen inside her uterus.
Well, do you think they're taking it themselves?
Only their hairdresser knows.
I'm telling you. Well, I don't see a pharmacist can supersede the word of a physician. Because I'll tell you one thing, Bob. You don't know how much power a doctor has. He has a hell of a lot of power.
Oh, yeah.
And let a pharmacist go up against him one time, and that pharmacist will be looking for a new job.
That's okay. There's a movement among doctors, too, who refuse to fill or who refuse to write birth control prescriptions in a particular instance where when the doctor refused to do so, the woman said, well, will you refer me to another one? And the doctor said no, because they cause, get the eerie music here, Jim, silent abortions.
Silent abortions.
Silent abortions. Just like every time a woman's monthly cycle rolls around, she has a silent abortion.
Well, that's just mind-blowing. All right, what about H.R. 6, the energy bill? What did you hear about that?
The only thing I heard about that, I heard Bush touting it yesterday to the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and the most that I could get out of it was that he thought it was really going to help us grow a lot more corn.
What tongue was he speaking in?
God only knows.
Have you ever heard him speak Spanish?
Oh, yeah, and he did. He did in this one. You can go to whitehouse.gov and you can read the transcript.
I'll take your word for it. It's really awful.
Oh, no. You might want to laugh. Mi casa es su casa, and whatever. No, I have heard one thing about it, and that is it's poison pill payback time for West Virginia under this new energy bill, Jim.
Well, how did our illustrious representatives vote? Do you know?
No, I do not. I did see a press release from Congressman Ray Hall, and he seemed like he was on the right track. Now,
I hope he did. I'll have to go to that, Thomas at LOC, Library of Congress.
Right.
I think you can whip it up there. You can find it there.
There's one key fact about this energy bill. It's got all kinds of goodies and giveaways and subsidies for the oil companies and the gas companies. And it's even got goodies and giveaways and price breaks and regulatory breaks for what's referred to as federal coal, which comes from the state of, would you care to guess, Jim?
Texas.
No, Wyoming.
Oh, well, excuse me. I should have known better. What am I thinking about? That's where I want to put my dental floss rack.
Exactly.
I can't put it there.
Yeah, Dick Cheney's home. And there's
right
all kinds of
Montana.
You're going to Montana soon. That's right. but it's got all kinds of sweetheart breaks for Wyoming coal, and it says not a blessed word about West Virginia coal. It says not a word about coal gasification. It says not a word about coal liquefaction. It says not a word about clean coal. We all know it's an oxymoron, but still, it's
Let me ask you something.
Promised by George.
I've heard you make a comment a great deal about coal. Now, which type of coal is found here? Anthracite or bituminous?
Bituminous.
Okay.
There's a very limited amount of anthracite in the country, and it comes primarily from Pennsylvania.
Okay. And that's your harder, less offensive type of coal, correct?
It is harder, and it's, I guess it has perhaps a lower sulfur content.
Okay.
It's also
so they have a nice thing in there for Wyoming. So they so So will this energy bill pass the House? You think?
I feel certain that it will. I mean, they could pass a ham sandwich right now, and you know there'd be a few Democrats go along and.
Well, you know, I swear to God, this you know, and I had told them this, and I said, you know, what are y'all, the Congress of the United States, or are you a rebirth of the old Supreme Soviet?
Tough choice right now.
Well, I mean, really, I mean, everybody says die.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then duh.
Yeah, it's a whole lot more like duh than die. You're absolutely right, Jim.
I mean, it's just like, you know.
But
you know,
let's stop
it. Pretty soon they'll all have to clap. And when Bush appears, if to make them stop clapping, they'll have to ring a bell because somebody is going to get hauled out of there.
I'm still waiting for George to lead Incitatus in and make him a member of the House or the Senate. You remember the horse that Caligula led in and made a member of the Roman Senate?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I remember one day Caligula took a short walk to take a bath from the arena. You know what happened to him and Drusilla.
Well, that's true, too. But
yeah,
really, let's... All wiseacring aside, Jim, let's stop and take a look at this. This is a Republican bill.
Yeah.
And clean coal and liquefaction and gasification, those are all Republican promises to West Virginia, aren't they?
Yeah, they're promises, but they're not reality.
Well, but you got to understand that the people who scrape their knuckles in order to propel themselves forward, the monkey walked as fast as they could to the polls to go and vote for Saint George of Crawford.
Uh huh.
Because he promised them that coal was just going to be a booming, and we would do everything in the government's power to make sure that West Virginia got its fair share of the pie.
Well, I remember last summer when that idiot came to Beckley. All these people were falling all over themselves trying to get down to that armory.
It was like a Beatles concert.
And you would think that almost Christ himself were coming back for a second coming, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I just told somebody on the radio that, you know, well, I asked the morning host, O'Brien, I said, how are you going to get past security? Because how are you going to get that plate in your head?
You're a tough man, Jim.
And he threw me off the show. But anyway, vis-a-vis that, I did hear Michelle's that same conference between one of the callers about the religion thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just basically, I won't call the guy's name, and you know who it is, and probably he makes sense. He's, you know, sort of, in a way, agnostic, I guess. But, and hey, that's his right.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the... process by which the Pope is elected, and of course the morning host is a devout Roman Catholic, and he was defending, you know, that particular conclave as being, I guess, having some type of aura of mystery and wonder about it, when, you know, I don't really think so, because look what it produced. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I got a Nazi who does his first mass on Hitler's birthday. I can't get over it. You know, the god of irony is alive and well, Jim.
Well, I mean, you know, it's just basically these are a bunch of old men under 80, and they get together, and they politic, and they support, and in this case, they supported JP number 2's anointed.
Well, I heard that the Panzer Pope had a majority on the first ballot, but it wasn't the two-thirds. And that he was then subsequently elected on ballot number 4, some believe as a function of just, you know, let's not sit here anymore and postpone the inevitable, because if we have to go all the way to ballot 33, then it'll be a simple majority he gets in anyway.
Well, I mean, you know, well, they weren't in much of a hurry. I mean, didn't each of them have a Motel 6 to go to?
They're 78, 79 years old, Jim. Everything's, I mean, to the extent that you can, everything's a hurry.
I wonder what they do about going to the restroom.
I always wondered that about the astronauts.
I mean, with all those gowns and stuff they've got on, they must have a bunch of, let me hush. I mean, maybe that's where the squire boy stuff gets in there. I don't know. But, I mean, really, I mean, they get in there and they politic, basically.
Yeah.
And then...
Well, but I think all the politicking got done before they ever sat down in the Sistine Chapel.
Before they ever closed the door of Sistine Chapel, absolutely. And then all these people are just like going nuts in St. Peter's Square looking at the chimney.
Again, it was like a Beatles concert. I saw nuns fainting.
Nuns were fainting?
Yeah.
Why?
Because the Pope is a rock star now, Jim. Now, if you really wanted, and I tell you what.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. If you really want the inside skinny to the election of the Pope, I think it's still up on Air America's website. It was during the Franken show. And and I'm sure you remember him well.
Oh, yeah.
If you really want the inside skinny on any of the doings at the Vatican, you really want Marconi School of Broadcasting graduate Father Guido Sarducci. And he was there waiting as they announced the name of the new pope.
Uh-huh.
And it's got to be some of the most trenchant observation I have ever heard.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's better than anything Wolf Blitzer had to say, I can promise you.
So basically he told it like it was.
Oh, yeah, Father Guido? Yeah, I mean, this is the guy who couldn't afford the bill from the Last Supper, but he was able to obtain the bill from the Last Brunch.
I'm not familiar with this gentleman.
Oh, my God. No, tell.
Really, I'm not. You
weren't a Saturday Night Live guy back in 75, 76?
Bob, those days are real hazy.
Okay.
I mean, you'll have to forgive me, but sometimes I was, you know.
I understand. You might once have been a Saturday Night Live guy and might have giggled merrily at Father Guido Sarducci.
I mean, let's face it.
It's a character created by a comedian named Don Novello.
Oh, okay.
And it's hilarious. It's an absolute scream to hear him sitting there saying, I can't tell whether the smoke is the black or is it the white. It's looking kind of gray to me. Maybe it's a moral relativist, Pope. I don't know.
Well, I've got somebody to put a Roman candle up at chimney.
It might have been worth it, Jim.
It should have been interesting. But, you know, that whole thing, that whole concept, I mean, you know, I'm not knocking anybody who buys off on it. That's fine. But, I mean, you know, this guy has a certain amount of temporal authority over an area the size of Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a right lovely piece of real estate, I've got to admit.
Yeah.
Having trod through there on occasion.
Not a lot of grass.
Right. And the gardens are quite lovely. And the ones that are. And but as far as this business of him having the ability to speak at his cathedral and to be infallible, I just can't buy off on that.
Well, there was one, out of the whole affair, there was one thing that kind of got under my skin, and that was the announcement by Fox News, and I quote, "We have a pope."
I know. Habeas Papam.
Well, no, they just said, no, Fox News, it wasn't the Habeas Papam. It was Fox News. We have a pope. According to Fox, we're all Roman Catholic now.
Well, I remember when I first saw it, I talked to a friend of mine who's Roman Catholic, and I said, "You have a new pope."
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, not me.
Sure.
And when I look at some of the, and I'll tell you something, Bob. If you talk to some of these people, these devout Roman Catholics, and you start talking about the history of the papacy, I'll guarantee you, a dime to a dollar, they won't know what the hell you're talking about.
No, and I tell you what, just as a trivia for folks to look up, my favorite is the story of Pope Stephen VIII and Pope Formosus. Yeah, you'll get a kick out of that too, Jim. We got to roll, though. Thanks so much.
Well, I'll just roll it on out of here.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye now. All right, time for our top-of-the-hour news break when we get back. Maybe we will talk. A little history lesson. Stephen VIII and Formosus. You'll get a kick out of this. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Dad, pass the gravy.
This year, United Way helped provide shelter to over 5,808 homeless people in Columbus. And it doesn't matter. To do so, we worked with scores of local businesses and government and community leaders. And it doesn't matter. Together with hundreds of volunteers, contractors, and tradespeople, we put a roof over their heads. And it still doesn't matter. It's not the places per se that really matter. What matters are the new leases on life within them.
Hey, Dad, it's the Nolans.
Your United Way investment, magnified by others who invest the United Way, has the real power to bring the results that matter where you live.
So, how are you getting along?
We're getting settled.
What matters? United Way.
A public service message from Call to Recycle.
Hi, this is Richard Karn. Recycling your old cell phone is a great thing to do for the environment. Visit calltorecycle.com or call toll-free 877-2-RECYCLE.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel. Well, radar speckled with thunderstorms. 50% chance will continue through tonight with lightning, thunder, and rain. 52 by morning, climbs only to 67 tomorrow with more of the risk of thunderstorms. It'll be up a bit to about 80%, so more wide coverage. That'll continue through tomorrow night, and by Saturday, scattered showers linger with 54 and perhaps 39 only on Sunday with a couple of snowflakes behind the system.
WWNR Beckley.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after eight, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is a little sandbox that we do call head on. And my apologies, I didn't know the energy bill had passed the House today. I try to stay informed, but I was on the road the better part of the day, and so I apologize. But for those of you who didn't hear ABC News or were on the road today, too, yeah, it passed, including, hey, a beautiful trip to the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge for a drilling vacation for Halliburton. Aw, isn't it romantic to see the elk die? No, it's not. And also mentioned in the top of the hour news, buried in the 1,000-page bill. Oh, I bet there's a lot buried in the 1,000-page bill. I think maybe they got a chance to slip in something making English the official language of West Virginia. Wouldn't put it past them, because that was just too much. That was too good for a laugh. No, extending daylight savings time. And now, don't get me wrong, I like daylight savings time. Daylight savings time allows me to play a little bit in the with the 5,000-watt blowtorch that is our daytime signal here at WWNR. And I'm grateful for it. But I want you to take just a minute and ponder, if you will, the concept of extending daylight savings time. Because if you give it more than a passing thought, you will realize that the mind that conceived this is probably dumber than George Bush, i.e., dumber than a big old bag of hammers. Okay? Think about it. We're changing how we set our clocks. Now, in changing how we set our clocks, do these poor brain-dead, mind-numbed Republicans think that somehow we are changing the tilt of the earth to create more daylight? That says a lot about us, that we can't, that we can better adjust a clock than we can adjust ourselves. Sounds a little bit like Shakespeare, doesn't it? Do thou adjust thy face, and I'll amend my life. Silly, silly, stupid, stupid Republicans. Yeah, I'm sorry. They are. If you're a registered Republican, don't sit there and say, Bob's calling me stupid. No, Forrest Gump time, little Bush voters. Stupid is as stupid does. And when stupid votes for George Bush, stupid is dozing in a big way. Oh, Lord. Jim had another thought for us. Hey, Jim, you head on. Yeah.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I've
just been thinking.
Flabbergasted.
Yeah, I figured they'd pass that bill. Of course, you know, I feel like king for a day now that I can go to Alaska and grill tundra. I mean, you know, that's just all I want to do is go up there and have some of those big mosquitoes carry me off. But, you know, I think what's wrong with these people who are trying to mind everybody's business.
What's that?
Now, I'm going to tell you this. I had no desire to be in your bedroom.
Thank God. Nor I yours.
Now, if you hire me to paint your house, I guess I'll have to go in there.
Right.
But, I mean, what's wrong with these people is I really believe they just don't have good sex.
I think that, or any.
They just ain't getting none. And because they ain't getting none, they don't want anybody else to get none.
You put it in the vernacular, Jim, but I think you put it succinctly and quite possibly correctly.
Well, I mean, you know, I think these people, have you ever seen that movie about Elvira, the full-length movie she did?
No.
She inherits her aunt's house in Salem.
Yeah, we're talking about Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, right?
Oh, yes, yes. I just love to watch that woman. My God, if General Lee had had breastworks like that, Rich would never have fallen.
Oh, where's my snare drum?
But anyway, you know, because, you know, she is a very intelligent woman, and her house has been an architectural digest, Cassandra Peterson.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, the story goes, she goes to the small town, and they're all a bunch of people like these people we're talking about.
Right.
And the leader of the group against her is this woman named Chastity Pariah. Well, Elvira goes into her Aunt Morgana's recipe book, and she finds one recipe that has this extremely powerful aphrodisiac,
mm-hmm.
which she slips into their Immorality 4th of July Day picnic. And so, needless to say, after the thing occurs, one man is just saying, "Don't blame me. I was just an innocent onlooker."
Boom, boom again. Beautiful. Gotta love it.
But anyway, you know, that is the trouble with these people. I mean,
well, I'm not so sure, Jim. I think some of them are actually so weird and hung up and potty trained at gunpoint that they hate sex, and they hate the idea of sex. I mean, this is the crowd that throws boiling that runs out to throw boiling water on a pair of rutting dogs. Okay. I mean, these people make the repressive nature of the Victorians look like some sort of Andy Warhol film.
Well, I mean, unbuttoned the Victorians could be pretty wild.
Yeah.
But I mean, these people who believe that sex is only for procreation,
if that,
and you've got to stand there and just, you know, I guess for them, it's as long as the maybe they will take as long as the shortest commercial. I don't know how they do it or what they do. But, I mean, I just can't understand that mindset, Mr. Kincaid.
Nor can I. And I don't think any normal person can, Jim. No normal person can. And we're not supposed to. We're just supposed to obey. Now, you want to talk about whether or not they're getting good sex or not? They will get good sex when we are doing the obeying and they're doing the ordering. These, you know, I've said it before, these are twisted, really, really kinky people. I mean, these are the hot dripping candle wax types.
Oh, I'm sure it melts their butter. I'm sure that's how they get off.
Yeah.
Bothering anybody, it's in anybody's business, or trying to impose my views on anybody else. I don't care.
I know.
Awesome. It's in my business. With me is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, 366-a-day job.
No.
And I don't have time to bother anybody else.
Well, to quote our fearless leader, living your life every day and minding your own business is hard work.
And you said they're going to extend this daylight savings time?
That's included in the bill, yeah. And frankly, I understand what they're trying to think, but it's pretty silly.
So there's going to be another extra hour of sunlight.
Mm-hmm. In I think March and October, something like that. Yeah, it'll extend it by 2 months, one on each end.
And that will have to, I guess, Indiana will have to observe that too, because they don't observe that, do they?
There's going to be some changes taking place in Indiana, according to something I saw a couple of days ago. Because Indiana's just this nightmarish mishmash of time zones and clocks, and I mean, there are places where I think there are bizarre laws in Indiana where you have to express the time in Roman numerals. I don't know. Some of them are in Eastern time, some are in Central, some do daylight savings. Some don't do daylight savings.
No wonder Cole Porter left Peru.
No wonder indeed. Hey, Jim, we got to hit our break.
Well, thank you. I appreciate an additional audience.
Oh, that's quite all right. Anytime.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Okay, yeah, it is time for a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
That good. Will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you will find when your death takes its toll, all the money you made will never buy back your soul. And I hope that you die, and your death will come soon. I'll follow your casket by the pale afternoon. I'll watch while you're lured down to your deathbed, and I'll stand over your grave, and I'm sure that you're dead.
Head On.
You know us. We're your neighborhood Leader drugstore. Independently owned by people who care, we're able to give you fast, friendly service. And we're proud of our prices. Generic, Leader brand, or national, Leader prices are hard to beat.
You really can save. Leader TruTrack blood glucose monitoring system, only $19.99. And 50-count test strips, only $23.99. This month only at participating stores. Compare and save, and you'll see why Leader is the place to go.
Leader. It's your neighborhood. It's your drugstore.
And now, today's health report. Too much of a good thing. Feel like you can't get enough sleep? Well, you can, say researchers from the University of San Diego in California. In fact, you can get too much. A recent survey of over 1,000 adults published in the journal Psychosomatic Medicine showed people who sleep 9 or 10 hours a night have more trouble falling asleep and staying asleep, as well as problems waking in the middle of the night, rising too early, not being able to fall back asleep, and being overly fatigued the next day. People who slept only 7 hours each night said they too had more trouble falling asleep and feeling refreshed the next morning. Researchers conclude people looking to get a good night's sleep should plan on getting the recommended 8 hours, no more, no less. This has been today's health report to help you stay healthier longer, brought to you by Leader Drugstores. Find the location of the Leader Drugstore nearest you at myleader.com. Leader Drugstores, it's your neighborhood, it's your drugstore.
Friday, April 29th, a who's who of leadership training comes together for the Maximum Impact Simulcast, the most powerful leadership event of 2005. Hall of Fame coach Mike Krzyzewski, motivational expert Brian Tracy, Florida State head football coach Bobby Bowden, best-selling authors Patrick Lencioni, Michael Gerber, Marcus Buckingham, and John Maxwell, America's foremost authority on leadership. Don't miss this unforgettable day of leadership development. Friday, April 29th.
Coming to the Raleigh County Armory Civic Center. For tickets, call 255-4600.
Shining a liberal light in the conservative darkness. Bob Kincaid, Head On.
Welcome back. 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. A few more. Look, the energy bill goes to the Senate now. And the question becomes one of, will it be ramrodded through the Senate virtually without debate? Or if the Democrats threaten to filibuster, will Tom DeLay threaten to have them shot? Or will Bill Frist have to go to another tent meeting and declare that, you know, that America needs a theocracy? That is what he's doing this Sunday. You realize that, of course. Of course you do. So it's all in there. And you know, they've been, again, it could be entirely, running with Jim's thesis here, it could be entirely that... What it boils down to is it's Republicans aren't interested in sex unless it's with little girls or little boys, you know, the way they're constantly being caught doing that, or kiddie porn. You know, the normal sexual activities of normal healthy adults they're incapable of. They're somehow stunted in their existence. On the other hand, if there's money involved, it gets them all tingly. And hence the business about drilling in Anwar, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, one of the last great untamed places in these here United States. And one, you know, again, remember, we're not going to get the oil out of it. That'll be sold to the Far East. Two, there's not going to be enough oil there. For what? We talked about it last week. A day, a month, a year. So it's a moot exercise. But because there is a vast amount of money involved, yeah, the Republicans are excited. It's holy to them. It's sacred to them. And it really, the Republican response to money is really something similar. You really can't find it in history until you go back, ironically enough, to, say, the temples of Ishtar, of ancient Ur, in the land between the livers? Long day. In the land between the rivers, Mesopotamia, otherwise known as Iraq. Now, in the ancient days of Ur of the Chaldees, as mentioned in Genesis, there were numerous temples to the goddess Ishtar. And the goddess Ishtar, being a goddess, had temple priestesses. But these weren't temple priestesses of the chaste variety. One communed with the goddess Ishtar by going to Ishtar's temple, paying some money and having sex with one of the priestesses, so that thereby one was worshiping money and ostensibly an idol and, you know, getting some sex in the bargain. That is a Republican relationship. Freud would have a field day. So we understand why the energy bill is what the energy bill is. Back up, because I really do want to take a look at this H.R. 1528. I hope someone doesn't email me and say, Bob, you big old doofus, it passed today, along, you know, tucked into the energy bill. Well, why would that surprise me? Some more of the fun facts from H.R. 1528. H.R. 1528 is just loaded with mandatory minimum sentences, among which is a brand spanking new 3-year mandatory minimum sentence for parents who witness or learn about drug trafficking activities targeting or even near their children. Now, that's, I know it's tortured, Grant. Here's how it works. You're a daddy. You're a mama. And you somebody tells mama in the beauty parlor, you know, Ethel, I heard they're selling meth down to the Quickie Mart near the elementary school. Now, mommy, if you do not immediately, and you think I'm kidding, I'm not. Under Jim Sensenbrenner's new law, if you don't get up immediately and hie thee hence to the nearest law enforcement office, and within, well, 24 hours you've got, and run in and say, Officer Friendly, quick! I just heard a rumor that somebody's a-selling meth down to the Quickie Mart, not too far from the grade school. If, upon hearing that gossip, you don't go and do that, now, you have never touched an illegal drug. You've never been near an illegal drug. Being a Republican, you couldn't spell illegal drug on a dare. But if you do not get up and run and repeat that gossip to the Gestapo, you have just earned yourself a 3-year mandatory minimum sentence to Club Fed. You may, even, and even if you do all that, you may still get the trip to Club Fed if you don't provide, quote-unquote, full assistance investigating, apprehending, and prosecuting the offender. Now, this is not law yet. This is only a bill on Capitol Hill that hopes someday it will be a law. But again, this bill has legs because of the Booker decision. Think about that. I'm not making this up. The good decent people know I'm not making this up. You know, the Republicans, on the other hand, are sitting there going, Ethel, he's picking on us again. Fine, doubt me. Go read it for yourself. 3-year mandatory minimum for parents who witness or learn about fancy words for hear gossip, hearsay. You know, the stuff that the Bible's so not fond of. And you get a 3-year mandatory minimum for not running immediately to the authorities and telling them about the gossip you heard, and then providing full assistance in investigating, apprehending, and prosecuting the offender. Do you have to? What happens if you take little Johnny along with you when you're giving full assistance in investigating, apprehending, and prosecuting the offender? Huh? What happens to little Johnny? Well, Mommy, I guess you can get yourself a 3-year mandatory minimum sentence, sugar, if you don't take little Johnny into the line of fire. Damn. I mean, they're Republicans. I know they're dumb. And I know they're pig-eyed, evil, stupid, too. But I keep hearing that they're pro-life. And here they are creating laws that are going to put children in the line of fire of drug gang turf wars. H.R. 1528. Now, if you want, if you, let's say you're into the under God thing in the Pledge of Allegiance. If you're really into it, and if you care as much as about the with liberty and justice for all part as you do the under God, which I suggest you should, then you might want to contact your congressman. Now, if anyone within the sound of my voice has the misfortune of having Shelley Moore as their congressperson, don't waste your breath. She will do what Tom DeLay tells her to do, what Jim Sensenbrenner tells her to do, because she is nothing more than a right-wing radical tool. Alan Mollahan, on the other hand, Nick Rahal, for those listening in Alabama, Bud Kramer, you better let him know. Let them know. Because I don't know if you realize it or not, Sunshine, but what we have here is fascism, pure and simple. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. The stepmother of former Governor Bob Wise has passed away. Vivian Taylor Wise was 84. The former governor and his three sisters were with Mrs. Wise when she died Tuesday at Ridgemont, an assisted living facility in Charleston. Mrs. Wise was born in Washington, D.C. and grew up there. She lived in several locations until moving to Charleston in 1965. She was a real estate agent. She also bred and raised pedigree dogs and was active in the American Kennel Club. She was the widow of Robert E. Wise Sr., an insurance executive, who died in 1986. In addition to the former governor, Wise is survived by six grandchildren, three great-grandchildren, and a sister. Her funeral is scheduled for 11 o'clock tomorrow at First Presbyterian Church. Firefighters in Greenbrier County were busy fighting several brush fires yesterday. A fire burned out of control for about 6 hours Wednesday on land behind the Elkview Elk Club in White Sulphur Springs. About 20 acres burned. No structures were involved. About 40 firefighters worked from about 2 to 8 yesterday afternoon to contain the fire. Cause has not yet been determined. A child injured in an all-terrain vehicle accident in McDowell County this week has been released from the hospital. The four-year-old was riding the four-wheeler with his father in Jolo Tuesday night when it went over an embankment. The child was airlifted to CAMC, but police say his injuries were not serious. The accident occurred on the same day that a Jaeger man was killed and another injured in an ATV accident in the Orchard Branch Hollow section. Police say it's not unusual to have two serious ATV crashes in McDowell County on the same day. The father of a 12-year-old boy who died in his principal's cabin alleges in a lawsuit that Fayette County parents warned the Board of Education for years about the principal's behavior with children. Roy Bell has sued the Fayette County Board of Education in federal court, maintaining board members and employees failed to protect his son, Jeremy. Jeremy Bell died of a drug overdose in 1997 in a cabin owned by Edgar Fredericks, Jr. The motion filed yesterday says one parent observed Fredericks while he was working at Powelton Elementary in 1984, took notes about his behavior around the fifth grader, and repeatedly contacted board members about what she saw. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for the rest of this evening. Showers and thunderstorms possible. Temperatures now near 60. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms, low 50. And tomorrow, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, with a high near 70. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Great news, folks! The humongous Department of Homeland Security, which collects, stores, and routinely pokes through mountains of personal data on practically every one of us U.S. citizens, has appointed a public board to consider how best to protect our privacy rights. There is, however, one small bit of bad news. The 20-member board is stacked with representatives from the very same corporations that profit from gathering and selling our private information to Homeland Security, as well as to other government agencies, marketing firms, banks, insurance companies, private investigators, your boss, your spouse's divorce lawyer, whoever. Two of the members of DHS's spiffy new Privacy Protection Board work directly for these data hawkers. Two others work for think tanks funded by the data industry. Two others work for companies that get Homeland Security contracts, and others come from the insurance, airline reservation, and database software industries. For example, among the members is the chief lobbyist for Cendant Corporation, a conglomerate that owns Avis and budget rent-a-car firms, such hotel chains as Days Inn and Ramada, and Century 21 Real Estate, all with a direct interest in getting as much private info on us as they can. Trusting such outfits to draw up our privacy protection rules is like putting the fox in charge of designing locks for the hen house. Yet the Homeland crew seems clueless about such obvious conflicts of interest. The department's chief privacy officer, who chose the final board members, says, who better to educate the department than people in industry? Hello, how about a panel of independent privacy advocates and maybe a few Americans who've had their privacy invaded? This is Jim Hightower saying, to help yank these personal data traffickers into line with America's privacy rights, call the Center for Democracy and Technology, 202-637-9800.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac, and libraries need your help.
Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I'll tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
Here's Bob Kincaid, Head On.
We're back, 24 minutes before 8 o'clock. No, 24 minutes before 9 o'clock. Long day. Sorry. A couple of emails. One who may remain anonymous said, "Let up on the dripping candle wax crowd. We're not all that bad. Don't think you are. What you do in the privacy of your own homes, your own Godfrey Daniel, it's your own business. But it's, again, not about the dripping candle wax. It's about the lying about the dripping candle wax while you're singing in the all holiness Pentecostal and herpetological park choir. In other words, it's about the hypocrisy. JJ writes in subject, Mama goes to jail for repeating salon gossip. Jesus Christ, man, what's next? Was Orwell a prophet or an author? Oh, at the risk of offending my Muslim friends, the temptation is strong to say that in George Bush's America, there is no God but God, and George Orwell is his prophet. JJ says, better shut up, Bob, here come the thought police. I'm not kidding. It's there. And God only knows who is getting a federal paycheck for writing this kind of tripe. I'm sure it was written somewhere on K Street. Our Congress doesn't write its own laws anymore. They're written for them. But really, you know, ladies, you're down there at Juanita's Beehive of Style and Beauty getting your latest Marcelinization or whatnot, sitting there with the rollers in. And Mirthreen looks over at you and says, Mailer, did you see them spots on Eunice, on her arm last Sunday at the First Tabernacle of Pentecostal Holiness and Herpetological Park? They looked like hot dripping wax marks to me. And you look back and say, why, heavens to Betsy. No, Mirthreen, I didn't. But did you hear about what... What Pastor Livewright did last Saturday night when he got into the communion wine? Why, he beat that boy of his within an inch of his life. Do tell. Well, he must have done something to deserve it. I do declare he must have. You know, that is he is an incorrigible child. But really, May Eller, I hear they're a-selling meth down there at the Quickie Mart, not far from the grade school. Mercy sakes, Mirthreen! Let me run for the police! I'm not kidding. Really, I'm sorry. This one deserves a little hammering. This is not a joke. This is not a drill. This is your freedom at risk at the hands of a bunch of freedom-hating, America-hating Republicans. Okay? Now, the part I included there about the little boy getting beaten within an inch of his life, you don't necessarily have to report that to the police. We learned that here in Stanford back in December, didn't we? Little babies freezing to death. Nothing says you have to report it to the police. But by God, if you hear a piece of malicious and, Lord, I mean, we, from Tokyo to New York City to the smallest small town in West Virginia, they're all small towns, and they all have one thing in common. The very pervasive, very simple human desire
to talk about other people. You ever read, you ever seen The Children's Hour? We had the story last night about the incredible turnaround season of the Bloomberg, Texas high school girls basketball team. And the coach was driven out on rumors and innuendos only. And it ended her teaching career there. A couple of decades ago, it would have ended for all intents and purposes, her life. On rumor and innuendo and the hateful gossip that thrives in any community. But now, that gossip can destroy you for merely hearing it and not being a rat. This is the birth of the informer state. Do you remember total information awareness? Remember what, DARPA? How do you feel about Jim Sensenbrenner and his Republican cronies telling you that regardless of any morals, or for that matter, regardless of your lack thereof, that you are now federally mandated to be one of the rottenest things on earth, to wit, a snitch? You didn't like them in the playground, you shunned them, you ostracized them.
Mrs. Marcus, Johnny's not going up the ladder the right way.
Tattletale. Squeezed and hurt and twisted my neck. Shh, be quiet. But now, Jim Sensenbrenner, and by extension, Tom DeLay, because the damn thing would not have gotten out of committee without his permission. These little goose-stepping congressional Republicans don't go to the restroom without Tom DeLay's permission. Jim Sensenbrenner, Tom DeLay, Denny Hastert, and all the other goose-stepping little Republicans want to turn this into the Tattler Nation. Freedom of conscience? Well, no, see, when we were out protesting Georgia's little bloodthirsty murder of Iraqi civilian women and children, we can't be exercising that freedom of conscience. That was wrong. And from there, it's an easy trip to no freedom of conscience. What does that mean? What does that mean? Witness or learn about drug trafficking activities. What does it mean? No freedom of conscience there either. Which drugs? What trafficking? I guess it's no longer legal to hold beliefs that, for instance, cancer patients who can hardly stand to eat and are withering away to nothing, it's illegal to believe that they should be able to use marijuana to ease their suffering and perhaps give them a semblance of an appetite so that they can have the nutrition in their bodies with which to withstand the disease. So if you happen to know that somebody gets something somewhere for the cancer, you gotta run to the police so that the feds can don their jackboots and knock down the doors of somebody who might be dead in 3 months. Because if you don't do it, they may die in 3 months, but you're looking at 3 years hard time, mandatory, no parole. Is this an America of which you approve? You know, can you hear the sirens? Was that ironic? That's not a sound effect. They're coming to take me away, haha. Is that the America that our Second World War veterans, our Korea veterans, our Vietnam veterans, held near and dear to their hearts? Is that the America that was envisioned by the people who held out on the adoption of the United States Constitution until such times as a Bill of Rights was drafted? The Fifth Amendment, you know, the one that the punishment fetishists and the authoritarians always think is reserved, you know, he got off on a technicality because they didn't warn him he had a right not to self-incriminate. Got off on technicality. They're them criminals, they're all the time using that Constitution. I think we'd probably be better off if we got rid of it. That Constitution, that Fifth Amendment. How do you square the right against self-incrimination? How do you square that with a mandatory snitch law? I can't. I really, really can't. And a while back I mentioned all the things where you can't traffic within 1,000 feet of. Imagine any city or town, 1,000 feet, 5 years, federal mandatory minimum sentence, 5 years for the sale of a controlled substance, everything from marijuana on up, within 1,000 feet of a school, a college, a public library, a drug treatment facility, any place where drug treatment is performed, any place where drug treatment classes are held, private daycare facilities, public daycare facilities. Now you look around any city and see if that doesn't include the entire city itself. There's nothing that's not 1,000 feet of that. Nothing except that is, as I mentioned, the country. Now, we've already got up virtually every holler in this state some bozo cooking meth. And now they want to make sure that they not only cook it in the country, that they have to deal it here too. You know, there are some people who go into the country to get away from the hell and misery of some of our cities. Not anymore. Not if Jim Sensenbrenner gets his way. You know, and remember, this is the same creep who stood up on our dime on Palm Sunday night to interfere in the life and, God rest her soul, the death of Terri Schiavo. He managed the wingnut side of that debate, Jim Sensenbrenner. And I'm curious, I mean, if there are any legitimate, you know, Bush voting wing nuts out there, can you justify this bill? Are you ready to any of you, because you know you hear it every day, something like it. Whether you're sitting there gossiping in the pews or at the beauty parlor or at the barber shop or in line at Wally World, you hear it. Are you all ready, in order to be good little repiglicans, are you ready to go and squeal? Are you ready to do 3 years hard time because maybe you forgot to run and tell the authorities that you heard some gossip about a dope deal? Huh? And you people worry about a flag-burning amendment. Tell you what, I'll give you the flag-burning amendment right here, right now. Ran it through the Senate, ran it through the House. I want Democrats vote. I want it to be, I want there to be no negative votes. I want it to be 100-0 in the Senate and, 437-0 in the House. And I want it passed overwhelmingly, not by 2/3 of the several states, but by 100%, all 50 of the several states. I want that flag-burning amendment passed. And you can attach any penalty to it that you wish. But remember, this is a compromise. we've made a deal here. And since you right wing, hey, give you the Ten Commandments too. We will wallpaper America in the Ten Commandments. We will put ten big Ten Commandments rocks in front of every Walmart, in front of every McDonald's. We'll put them in every school, every university, every daycare. We'll make sure the Ten Commandments is posted in Braille and every foreign language that is spoken in this great nation. How's that? Looking pretty sweet so far, isn't it? Let's criminalize abortion while we're at it. And let's make a law where the weirdo pharmacists get to, they can withhold the birth control pills, morning after pills, condoms, IUDs, chemotherapy, antibiotics, anything they want. Anything that meets with their twisted vision of some sort of something passing for morality. I'm going to give you that too. But you're going to give me something. Yes, you are. In exchange for all of this, you're going to give me a constitutional amendment. You are going to give me a constitutional amendment criminalizing, banning the defamation of the Constitution and Bill of Rights of the United States of America. And you're going to give me the ability to impose the death penalty for violating it. You guys like the death penalty, don't you? Fight fire with fire, fight fascism with fascism, I always say. Yes, sirree, sunshine, you're going to give me a Constitution desecrating amendment. And when we catch creeps pushing laws like H.R. 1528, the justice will be sure and swift. When you try to turn the United States of America into a nation of snitches, tattletales, and narcs, you spit, you regurgitate on the Constitution. Uh-oh. Not so keen for the trade anymore, are you? Didn't think you would be. Not that you care much about the Constitution. It's more of like if you're afraid you're going to get caught doing it because the people you support do it day in and day out, and they do it with verve and vigor and vim and lots of other V words and relish. And spicy brown mustard. Yes, they do. And suddenly it's not so comfortable being included in that little country club, is it? I don't even think that the hard-working people who, for some reason or another, feel like they're Republicans or have been conned into believing they are, I don't even think they want to join the United States of Rat. The United States of Stool Pigeon. The United States of Fink. I don't even think they want to be part of it. Jim Sensenbrenner sure does. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head on.
To go outside.
Then take him, son. Sure, he's a Great Dane, meaner and 100 pounds heavier than you. Sure, he's strong enough to tow an SUV, but you're a Peterson, and at four, you're a man. So take Bullet's chain and wrap it around your wrist twice.
Like this?
I use both hands, but hey. Now show him who's boss. Let him know who's top of the food chain.
But I'm afraid I could get hurt.
I'm afraid I don't understand. Just keep him away from that cat.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seat belts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
They can spit that fat out this instant.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
All right, your 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Sit down, buddy. There you go, helmet. Okay, that's right. Thigh guards. Don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth. Put it in.
Daddy.
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy. Run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have sprayed on them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Ever seen a hornet, Shelly?
No, ma'am.
Well, you're five. What are you waiting for? They've built a nest outside your window. See?
No.
You will when you climb 15 feet up this ladder to get rid of them. Take this insecticide and broom and send those stinging meanies packing.
What if I fall? I could get hurt.
Oh, you know about gravity already. You're so smart. Oh, go, 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 go. The hornets are waiting.
Shelly, wait!
Try not to swallow too many.
Get away!
Knock that nest out of the park.
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Are they fighting me? Oh, they're so cute. No, honey, hornets don't bite, silly. They sting.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
I'm a good plow, a field with one hand, and chop the lawn just as well as a man. When it came to increasing disease resistance, that woman could lactate like nobody's business. Mama's nursing help raise a healthy family. There's nothing she wouldn't do. She helped us kids get through. When I think of Mama, brings a tear to my eye. She gave from her heart or somewhere nearby. Call 800-994-WOMAN or visit 4woman.gov to learn more. Or talk to your health care provider. These babies were born to be breastfed exclusively for 6 months. This public service message brought to y'all by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council of this station. Yell breastfeed now, you hear?
A public service message from Call to Recycle.
Hi, this is Richard Karn. Recycling your old cell phone is a great thing to do for the environment. Visit calltorecycle.com or call toll-free 877-2-RECYCLE.
News Talk 620 WWNR. Keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Channel. Well, radar speckled with thunderstorms. 50% chance will continue through tonight with lightning, thunder, and rain. 52 by morning, climbs only to 67 tomorrow with more of the risk of thunderstorms. It'll be up a bit to about 80%, so more wide coverage. That'll continue through tomorrow night, and by Saturday, scattered showers linger with 54 and perhaps 39 only on Sunday with a couple of snowflakes behind the system.
He's got the heart of a conservative, pickled on a jar on his desk. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 9 o'clock, the final hour of tonight's Thursday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and a programming note for you, as the saying goes. There may not be a Head On for tomorrow night, at least not a live one. I have to be out of town during the bulk of the day tomorrow, and may not be able to arrive back in time to do the show. So in case of that, there will, of course, be a what we refer to in the biz as a best-of show. That's what we refer to it as. What you call it is
a daggum rerun. But the things are what things are, and sometimes one is required to be away from the microphone. And this is one of those times. An email from our friend David, or as he likes to be known, Liberal David. He says, I want, and then caps, no, want, no, crave to see John Bolton in the United Nations, please. Please, W, turn that chimp loose on the world's deliberative body. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he would just, I mean, yeah, you've heard the alley. Throwing food at people, screaming at them, telling a woman that, what, that she's fat and doesn't like boys to be gentle. The world would quit. But the world, the thing is, the world already knows what a bunch of monsters are occupying the White House in the Bush misadministration. But David notes, he says, on a serious note, Terry Schiavo's extended family is still not happy with the Republicans, as we should be, as we should be. And the congregation said, Amen. Like I said, sometimes I catch up with stuff that still seems vaguely interesting that's in the stack, and David's reference of poor Terry Schiavo brings something up, but maybe you've already seen this. This is a little bit older. Came from the Washington Post. Reports cite no abuse of Schiavo. Florida Welfare Agency investigated dozens of complaints. Now, if you read down into the article, and this is from last Sunday, it wasn't just dozens of complaints. 45 pages of confidential abuse reports made public by court order. And you know, our gratitude to the judge for making them public. Because now we get to see what these monsters, demons, fiends, glim, these exploiters of misery, you know, the Schindlers and their ilk, the Schindlers and the Swindlers, we can see what they were up to. You know, when I was a little boy, I was always taught, you know, out on the baseball field, football field, whatever. Son, give everything you've got. And above all, play fair. And when it's over, it's over. And you can feel good as long as you've done those things. As long as you've done those things. But with that other side, those people with the R by their names, and arguably those the decent people who have been seduced into thinking that they should have an R by their names. Doing your best, giving your all, and playing fair is not enough. If you don't ultimately prevail, the effort wasn't worth it. And that's sad. Attorney Hamden Baskin III. Wouldn't you love to be Hamden Baskin III? Hamden. I need to quit doing that. It's not Hamden Baskin III's fault. Trey Baskin. Trip Baskin. That's probably what he goes by. Now, the answer is obvious, said Attorney Hamden Baskin III. From the get-go, this was nothing but a political intervention. There was and continues to be no reason for them to have been involved, talking about Florida Department of Children and Families. The State Department of Children and Families repeatedly concluded that Michael Schiavo ensured his wife's physical and medical needs were met, provided proper therapy for her, and had no control over her money. They also found no evidence that he beat her or strangled her or twisted and fractured her little bones, as those sickos alleged. 89 complaints, consuming some 45 pages of Republican hate and madness. Now, you do remember, don't you, all the screaming. Well, on shows like the piece of garbage that follows mine, the Savage Wiener. Remember him screaming about how Michael Shivo gave her insulin trying to kill her? Remember that? Guess what? Nope. Didn't happen. Not even credible. Nothing to it at all. Here's one of the best things. The finding by DCF that the spouse, i.e. Michael Shivo, has always been courteous and very compassionate toward his wife and all her needs being met. This is how desperate it got. One of the people giving a referral of abuse found the evidence of Terry Shivo's alleged abuse on the internet. Wait a minute, wait. A couple of days ago, the bug spray delay having a blue screaming hissy fit about Justice Anthony Kennedy. You remember? Did you hear it? Why, he does his own legal research on that there internet. He said that. That was one of the charges he made against Anthony Kennedy as being unfit to sit on the Supreme Court. Yes, he did. But when he was down there trying to foster the culture of life, it was an entirely different thing when complaints about Terry Shivo's well-being came in based on stuff that people had read on that internet. Well, that's the internet of truth and religious purity, not that internet of hateful liberalism and international law. Did you not know there's more than one internet? Now they also ruled unfounded a complaint that the Schindlers were exploiting their daughter by selling videotapes of her on the internet for $100. That was unfounded. On the other hand, we do know, however, that they sold the list of people who sent well wishes to Terry Shivo. They sold that for a lot more than $100 to an internet Republican marketing firm. So what do you make of that? Is it safe to say at this juncture that if a Republican's saying it, it's probably a lie? I think that rises to the level of, what was the phrase that Cardinal Ratt used the other day? Absolute truth. No moral relativism there. If a Republican's talking, he's probably lying. Because this is a world of absolute truths. And I'm Bob Kincaid.
At the pump, is your monthly gas budget more expensive than your car payment?
Jeez!
If so, 40 miles per gallon on the highway must sound like a dream come true. Well, time to wake up and get to L&S Toyota, 300 Rural Acres Drive in Beckley. We've got 35 Corollas available, and with 40 miles to the gallon on the highway, that makes Corolla one of the most fuel-efficient cars on the road.
Yes, 40 miles to the gallon.
All right! And Corollas aren't the only Toyotas that will give you more bang for your buck at the pump. Choose from 25 available Camrys with 33 miles to the gallon and 49 available Tacomas with 27 miles to the gallon. You won't just save money on your car, you'll save big on your gas bill. With 35 Corollas, 25 2005 Camrys and 49 Tacomas available. What else can you ask for? L&S Toyota.
Visit www.toyota.com. Sale ends 4/31.
Have you ever wondered where to send your visiting friends and relatives when they visit this year? Make plans to visit the Southern West Virginia Convention and Visitors Bureau's Travel Expo at Falls Ridge Mall April 30th and May 1st to learn about all the great attractions and activities right here in our own backyard, Southern West Virginia. Got it in you? Call 252-2244 for more information.
Number 1,200,000
this year. United Way helped provide quality child care for over a million families.
Number 1,200,000.
We took more than 700,000 homeless off the streets and gave them shelter.
700,900.
But none of the numbers really matter. What matters to United Way are the people behind them.
My name is Mary.
The independence we foster, the communities we use.
Carla.
Those results go beyond the numbers. And for United Way, that's what matters. For more information, call your local United Way or log on to unitedway.org.
He's not a blade. He's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 19 minutes after 9 o'clock. A quick little something-something. Oh, why did I use that? I hate vernacular stuff like that, so I'll try not to do that again. Fresh out from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, new statistics. Now, do you remember or are you familiar with the fact that while the weirdo religion industry was screaming during the Clinton years and all the Republicans marching and Eric Rudolph bombing women's health clinics, you are cognizant of the fact, are you not, that abortion rates among the wealthy, abortion rates among the middle class, and abortion rates among the very poor all declined during the Clinton years. But, of course, he was an immoral man because he had a girlfriend. Yeah, you remember that, right? Sure. And you know, of course, that in the time during which we have had Dear Leader in the White House, abortion rates have stabilized among the rich and among the middle class. But, sunshine, they're back on the rise among the very poor. Because good, godly, upstanding Republicans have done everything in their power to curtail a woman's ability to control what goes on in her own body. Okay? Well, here's some more happy news. You're going to love this. Now, for those of you who bear no great love for King George the Foolish, this will come as no surprise. I read it and just sort of put my head in my hands and said, as you sow, so shall you reap. Murder rates are on the rise in several U.S. states. According to a federal study that bolsters indications, the nation as a whole may be experiencing its first significant jump in violent deaths since when? Since George Bush the First left office. The finding was published today by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and it was based on data from the first six states to take part in the federal agency's National Violent Death Reporting System. Sad enough that we need in this great nation a violent death reporting system, but need it we do. The overall murder rate in the states that reported, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Oregon, South Carolina, and Virginia, jumped 6% between 2000 and 2002. And then they jumped from that another 4% between 2002 and 2003. Oh, the miracle of compound interest. The rising murder rates were fueled by a jump in homicides among males under the age of 25. The suicide rate was stable in the six states between 2000 and 2002. But, man, it jumped 5% between 2002 and 2003. That's what you call the hopelessness factor. The rate, 9.37 per 100,000. Well, that's not so bad, Bob. No, unless one of your loved ones is 9.37, or one thereof. The increase was largely due to rises, listen carefully, pro-lifers. The increase was largely due to rises in self-inflicted deaths among women of all ages. And, of course, Pastor Livewright responded from the pulpit, well, at least it was only women. They probably wouldn't have committed suicide if they'd have been properly submitting unto their husbands. Oh, that just hurts. This is our country. You know, the one we pledge allegiance to and sing songs about. But ever since George Bush has gotten into office, well, you can hear his words about Carla Faye Tucker, can't you?
Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. Oh, she just sat there saying, please don't kill me. Please don't kill me.
The six states which accounted for 11% of the murders and 10% of suicides in 2002 were in step with the rest of the nation between 1993 and 2000, when national homicide and suicide rates fell sharply. So we can expect to see rises in those rates when that data pours in. Can you come up with a hypothesis for why this happened? It was going up, 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 up in the heady days of the Reagan 80s and the Bush early 90s. Up, 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 up. Suicide, up. Murder, up. Deaths of young male of males under age 25. Up, 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 up. Suicides of women in the heady days of Reaganomics and the heady days of read my lips. No new taxes. Suicides of women, up. Suicides in general, up. And then comes 1992 and the ousting of that nasty man, George Herbert Herbert Bush. A Star Trek reference. Bill Clinton comes in. No, you remember the motto? It's the economy, stupid. And tried to make little strides that would make, oh, poor women and poor men's lives a little bit better. And what did we see? We saw a decrease in murder. Of course, then there was that COPS program. Remember the COPS program? You remember the day in and day out jeremiads levied by the likes of that filthy junkie Flush Flimball against the COPS program? You remember that? Now, I'm no authoritarian, but I think you could probably draw a reasonable inference about more cops and less murder. And, of course, some modest increases in funding for mental health facilities. So maybe you can draw a reasonable correlation between modest increases in funding for mental health facilities and less suicide. Oh, but then comes January 2001. And America is America again. And the flag is waving on high, for no longer are we led by a guy who had a girlfriend. And murder in the first 2 years of George Bush's reign jumped 4%. And in the next year, it jumped 6%. And suicide leaped.
Some sociologists have tied rising murder and suicide rates to changes in the economy, as well as greater availability of drugs and guns.
That's what you get. Greater availability of guns, that is. That's what you get when you get an NRA president.
Thanks, Ted Nugent. Thanks, Tom DeLay. Thanks, Wayne LaPierre. Thanks, George. Thanks a million. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A state report shows that about 50,000 West Virginians are expected to have Alzheimer's disease by the year 2025. That's up 25% from 4,000 people in 2000. According to the State Department of Health and Human Resources, dementia, the growing crisis in West Virginia, Alzheimer's accounts for 50 to 70% of all cases of dementia. Dementia occurs when certain parts of the brain are damaged through disease or trauma and interferes with a person's ability to perform daily activities. The financial burden for Medicare and Medicaid regarding the hospitalization of patients with dementia is expected to rise. Several maintenance workers have been treated for chemical exposure after a garbage bag containing suspected methamphetamine caught fire in Ravenswood this morning. The workers were picking up trash when one of the crew tossed a bag into the truck and it caught on fire. Police say the workers drove the truck while it was ablaze to a local fire station where the fire was extinguished. All seven were put through a decontamination shower as a precaution, then treated and released from a local hospital. Earl Avril Gerald is charged with attempting to operate a clandestine drug lab. Now the forecast for the rest of this evening, partly cloudy, with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Temperatures now near 60. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms are likely, with a low near 50. Then tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms again, mostly cloudy, with a high near 70. Friday night, showers and thunderstorms are likely late in the night. Some storms tomorrow night could produce gusty winds as a very strong cold front moves in. Tomorrow night's low near 47, then get ready for the weekend. It's a wipeout. Saturday, showers likely. Some of the storms could produce gusty winds. It turns much colder, high near 40. Saturday night, rain showers change to snow and rain showers, then snow showers after midnight. Low near 29 Saturday night. Then snow showers and rain showers on Sunday, with a high near 40. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Hello, I'm Peter Strauss with today's Garden Minutes from Miracle-Gro, makers of the Miracle-Gro Garden Feeder, which makes it a cinch to feed while you water.
What's the hottest trend in gardening this year? Well, head to the country. You see, romantic country gardens are the way to go. Now, you don't have to be in the country to have a country garden, and no garden is too big or small to get a country touch. You see, country gardens are all about perennials that strut their stuff from spring until fall. They're about sweeping borders full of color and fragrance. And don't forget the flowering shrubs and trees that will become the backbone of the garden. Country gardens have some of those old-fashioned perennials that your grandmother probably had. In the spring, perennials like bleeding hearts, peonies, and iris lead the way. Spring bulbs bring hyacinths and daffodils. Come midsummer, you've got the jewel tones of coneflowers, black-eyed Susans, and summer phlox. The shady areas come alive with varieties of hostas and ferns. In the fall, the mums and sedums take center stage. And remember, you can keep the show going and produce longer-lasting blooms by feeding your flowers a bloom booster type plant food. And there's an added bonus. Country gardens also smell good. The key to a successful country garden is having easy-to-care-for perennials that come back year after year, filling your garden and home with colorful and fragrant flowers.
12 minutes. That's all it takes to water and deep feed most gardens with the Miracle-Gro Garden Feeder. You drop a pre-measured packet of Miracle-Gro into the feeder's bowl, hook it up to the hose attachment, and you're off and feeding. I'm Peter Strauss, asking you to join me again for another edition of Garden Minutes from Miracle-Gro.
A cyclone whipped around the house the night he was born to a wealthy plantation owner. This story next on Biography for Radio.
America is a country of entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner, you're helping shoulder the lion's share of the U.S. economy. You can lighten that load a little at Sam's Club. To save you time, we offer click and pull and fax and pull. Place your order online at samsclub.com or by fax before 5 p.m. And at no extra charge, it's ready to pick up as early as 7 a.m. the next day. Now that's teamwork, and we're proud to be a small part of your team. Sam's Club. We are in business for small business.
The wind that night was nothing compared to the storms the young revolutionary would later initiate. The first was in 1953. A lawyer by training, he had switched to politics to oppose the rich who ran the island state. But as he was running for Congress, a military coup overturned the government. Furious, he too turned to violence. With a band of armed rebels, he stormed the army barracks. It was a disaster. Scores were killed and he was thrown in jail. Once out, he led a second attack. It also failed, but he escaped to the hills and gathered support among the peasants. In 1959, following a general strike, the American-backed leader who ran the country fled, and the bearded guerrilla took over. Over the next years, he clashed repeatedly with the United States. Presidents Eisenhower and Kennedy both crossed swords with his communist state, including a face-off with the Russians that sparked fears of nuclear war. Despite the guerrilla leader's promises, elections were never held. For two generations, he dictated policies that educated his people but left the nation in poverty. Now gray with age, but still uncompromising, is the Cuban president, Fidel Castro. For Biography, I'm Lawrence Scott.
Biography is a trademark of A&D.
A man who just loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. See, these wouldn't, if these were real news stories, I wouldn't be making noise like this. It's about 23 minutes and change before 10 o'clock. Hey, at least I'm reading the clock right. I'm Bob Kincaid, and a reminder again, there may be no head-on tomorrow night. School stuff for my darling daughter. We're very proud of her. She did something really cool, and we get to go and watch and see how she does this time through. We're rooting for her. Hope you'll be rooting for her, too. A story just emailed in from our friend Gene. It comes from the PalmBeachPost.com. Fed's weather information could go dark. Yeah, that's right. Welcome to the Bush budget again. 7-day weather forecasts for your zip code, hour-by-hour predictions of the temperature, wind speed, humidity, chance of rain, weather data beamed to your cell phone. Every last bit of that is available for free from the National Weather Service, you see. Guess what? Under a good Republican bill, it all goes bye-bye. And, of course, it's Senator Rick Santarium, Sanctum Santorum. He introduced a bill last week that would prohibit federal meteorologists from competing. Listen to this. Now, okay, not gooning on anybody except Senator Sicko. Would prevent federal meteorologists from competing with companies like AccuWeather and the Weather Channel, which offer their own forecasts through paid services and free ad-supported websites. Now, you know, you can get the Weather Channel forecast here. I watch it at home. But critics say the bill's wording so vague they can't tell exactly what it would ban. and supporters, of course, that would be Republicans, say the bill wouldn't hamper the Weather Service or the National Hurricane Center from alerting the public to hazards. In fact, it exempts forecasts meant to protect life and property. Well, how nice. Unless that weather forecast to protect life and property is being sent to your cell phone or your zip code. He's at it again. Sanctum Sanctorum. One fella, Scott Bradner, technical consultant at Harvard University, says the National Weather website, Weather Service website, would have to go away. What would be permitted under this bill is not clear. It doesn't say, even including hurricanes. Now, see, I'll listen to Scott Bradner because he's a highly educated individual, whereas Sanctum Sanctorum is little more than a religion industry tool. I guess weather's on their list now, too. But, of course, you know, if you go and you check out the donations, I'm sure you'll probably find AccuWeather, because, you see, AccuWeather is, as you know, headquartered in Pennsylvania, whence comes Sanctum Sanctorum. Yeah. You see the connection? Just doing a little bidding for the constituents. I'm sure no money changed hands or anything gross and creepy like that. No. Republican, take money for legislation? Perish the thought. And a spokesman for Senator Bill Nelson, a Democrat from Florida, of course, said the bill threatens to push the Weather Service back to a pre-internet era. A questionable move in light of the four hurricanes that struck the state last year. But no fetuses were harmed in those hurricanes, I suppose, so Senator Santorum isn't much concerned. The Weather Service proved so instrumental and popular and helpful in the wake of the hurricanes. How can you make an argument that we should pull it off the net now? What are you going to do? Charge hurricane victims to go online or give them a pop-up ad? Because, you see, you have to pay for this stuff. I mean, we don't get the Weather Channel for free. No, sir. We give it to you for free, but we don't get it that way. So that's more Republican insanity. The Weather Service? The Weather Service? AccuWeather has been an especially vocal critic of the Weather Service and its parent agency, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Why? Because it gets in the way of AccuWeather's holy communion with what? Small unmarked bills, preferably. Fives, tens, and twenties. What do you think of that? But, of course, it comes from Sanctum Sanctorum, and let's go ahead and talk about him for a minute. I mean, first of all, this is the guy who said that legalizing homosexuality and eliminating all those rotten, old, hateful statutes on the books of states like Texas would, I kid you not, you probably know, would lead to man-dog sex. He said that. Now, don't you accuse me of doing anything nasty. He said that. Well, and that's creepy. That's, ugh. I mean, that's beyond. Ugh. Now, he said that. But I want you to compare. No, Jesse, it is not puppy love, you sicko. Oh. Ugh. Okay, I apologize to all the women in the audience who are having Donny Osmond flashbacks now, okay? Mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. No, if you want to talk about weird and sick and gross, playing with dead bodies, now that's up there. Playing with corpses, that's up there. Well, once upon a time, not too long back, Rick Sicko Santorum, his wife, was pregnant with the fourth of his seven children. Guess the religion. And their son, they think, Gabriel Michael, was born preemie
at 20 weeks, what science might call a spontaneous abortion.
No!
20 weeks on October 11, 1996. The baby lived for 2 hours outside the womb. Nature, sorry. Now, I've never been through anything like this. I don't ever want to go through anything like this. I don't know how the process works in a hospital, but I'm guessing it doesn't work like this. Upon their son's death, Rick and Karen Santorum opted not to bring his body to a funeral home. Instead, take your anti-emetic real quick. Instead, they bundled him in a blanket and drove him to Karen's parents' home in Pittsburgh, wherein we have listeners. And there, Jesse won't be, he wasn't here. Do you remember some several months back when I read you excerpts from Second Lady Mary Cheney's novel, Sisters? Remember that? It turned people green all over Radio Land. And not just because it's bad literature, but because there's some really gross stuff in it, wherein one of the heroines fondles a wreath made out of a dead girl's hair.
Ew.
I mean, that's... that was a novel. That was fiction. Instead, they bundled the fetus in a blanket and drove it to Karen's parents' home in Pittsburgh. There, sit down, they spent several hours kissing and cuddling the little dead fetus. Now, in a time of extremis and grief like that, a husband and a wife doing something like that, you can almost make an excuse for it. You can almost reach out there and say, well, you know, I wouldn't, but, you know, who am I? There they spent several long hours kissing and cuddling the fetus, along with their three children, ages 6, 4, and 1.5. They took photos of the fetus. They sang it lullabies in its ear, and they held a private mass. That's my little guy, Santorum says, pointing to the photo of the fetus in which his tiny physique is framed by its father's hand. The senator often speaks of his late son in the present tense.
Norman? Norman Bates?
Now, is it just me, or is all of that gross, disgusting? Playing with a dead body and inviting your 6-year-old to come play with the corpse.
Come here, honey. Come here. Come here. Tickle the corpse. Tickle the corpse. Coochie, coochie, ooh.
You know, and of course, there's no aftermath in this story of the screaming in the night. You know.
Molly, Molly, quick, can I come sleep with you and Daddy? The dead baby's chasing me in my dreams again.
He and Karen brought the fetus's body home so their children could, quote, absorb and understand that they had a brother. We wanted them to see that he was real, not an abstraction, he says. And not a fetus, either. Rick and Karen were appalled to see him described as a 20-week-old fetus.
That's what he was! That's what it was! A 20-week-old fetus. I'm sorry, it's painful. God knows this kind of grief is meted out day in and day out in America. Remember, we have a higher infant mortality rate in this country than Cuba.
But on the hospital form, it said 20-week-old fetus. And Rick and Karen Santorum stomped their holier-than-thou feet and carried on and made a real conniption and demanded that the word fetus be retracted and that it be called baby. And because he's a high and mighty political type, the hospital did his bidding. How often do you think that happens for a welfare mother? Never. How often do you think there's a right to lifer there to see that it happens for a welfare mother? Never. We want him to see he was real, not an abstraction. Honey, come here. Look here. This is not an abstraction. It's a corpse. Come play with the dead thing. Come play with the corpse, honey. Honey, play with the corpse. That's better. Roll the ball to the corpse. Here, watch. It's almost like he's rolling it back. Roll. Ugh. Yeah, this is disgusting. But I'm not the one that's disgusting. The Santorums are disgusting. We've referred to the religion industry right and these goose-stepping fascists from time to time as ghouls and monsters. Don't ghouls and monsters hang out with the dead? Don't ghouls and monsters play with the dead? And frankly, were they not incredibly wealthy and politically connected, something on the order of Child Protective Services should have been called on Rick and Karen Santorum for subjecting their children to that kind of emotional trauma. Can you imagine, I mean, a year and a half old, four and six, the four-year-old and the six-year-old got it imprinted forever in their brains. And I'm guessing, children being children, it's probably not a good idea. There are studies out there that indicate that when a child dies, or when a parent dies, that a child, and because we're not talking about reason, we're not talking about common sense, we're not talking about rationality, we're talking about a child, the child will blame him or herself for that death. There are studies out there, legions, that indicate that when a sibling dies, the surviving sibling will blame him or herself for that death. Have you ever been around, and many of you have, I'm sure, a pregnant mother who already has little children on the ground? And they'll say things like, you know, mommy's got a baby in her tummy. And sometimes they'll say, mommy, I don't want that baby. Or after the baby's born, they'll look at mommy and say, mommy, when does the baby go back? I'm tired of the crying. All right? It happens. Now, take that and magnify it with the fact that your mother and father made you come play with the dead baby. We're talking about the psychological damage that will probably take decades to unwind. This is the kind of psychological damage that 10 or 20 years later winds itself up with a kid in the top of a bell tower in a clown suit with a high-powered rifle. Shoot me! Shoot me now! I killed my baby brother! Because it was a baby, not a fetus! This guy is one of the leading proponents of the hard right fascist fringe, the hard right fascist core of the Republican Party. Okay? This is one of the sickos in chief, Rick Santorum. They say he has presidential aspirations. What kind of wars would a guy get us into who likes to play with dead babies? K
Can't we send him on a junket to Iraq? There's something on the order of 50,000 dead babies that Rick Santorum can play with. But by God, there was not a word out of his rotten, stinking mouth when it came time to stand up against that murder. No, sir, he voted yay, yay verily, in favor of that murder. But he wants to bring a corpse home and play with it. Wow. Astonishing. Thanks, everybody. Always nice to be with you. Thanks for all the emailers, the callers. The show tonight was produced by the Intrepid. You're Intrepid, right? Jesse Fulmer. Engineered by Randy Kerbway. Announced at least in part by Brian Reznor. And brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they are working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. Ben Birch archives the show at whiterosesociety.org, and we appreciate all of his efforts. Hey, Agnes.